Today is the ending. We've been studying the principle of first, and I left this one till last. It will be the challenging one to you, I believe, as much as probably any of them, because we're going to look into your pocketbook, which is a very private thing, I understand, having been in this for many, many years. All that preachers and churches is out is after your money and da-da-da, so I know all the ins and outs and nuances and the challenges and all that. But I want to teach you today what I believe and what I've learned and what I live in my life. And it's been a real blessing to me, and the reason we'll do it is not because there's some great need all of a sudden, but there's just a challenge that I feel like the Lord will do in your life like he did in mine and what he spoke to me about. One of the great things in our time of our life is the joy of giving. And we have had the joy of giving and helping, and I want my reward in heaven, not here, so I'm not going to tell you anything that I do or don't do other than tithing. But other than that, it's beyond, far above tithing. We've just had the joy of giving. And once you get in that mode where you're free from all the junk about this world that you got to have or don't have and where you got to do this and that, it's just really a freeing thing. And the thing about it is, I waited till I was 30 years old to get married, and I married the daughter of an evangelist who had been a missionary for many years of their lives, and lived on the mission field. And she had the heart like I do. And if you knew anything about Jasmine, you're talking about a giver. You know, she just is. And so I'll just leave it at that. And she has the joy of her life of giving. And but she also examples this even more than me. And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that. Everybody stand up. We're going to start Matthew chapter 6:33. This will be the more sensitive one, and so I'll just leave it at that, and we'll go with it. But seek what? First, the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Let's pray. Father, we ask you today to speak to our hearts. We ask you to show us truth. Whatever's not of you, take it out, Lord. Just let's be deaf to it. But, Lord, we just pray, magnify your truths. Teach us, Lord. Convict us. Confront us. Love us. Encourage us. Strengthen us in everything, we pray in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Look around and somebody say, this is going to be a tough one today. We just say, this is going to be a tough one today. I know. We talked about, and this is the ending of a series called The Principle of First. And we talked about how to order your life to where it brings a blessing when the order is important, because whatever we put first in our life has the power to bless the rest. We saw that order determines priority and capacity. We had a whole sermons on those. No matter what a person says, though, we learn this. No matter what you say is first in your life or what you think is first in your life, there's two indicators that can indicate to me or to you or to anyone that's objective what is really important in your life. Number one, as we said, is your calendar. If we were to get your calendar and plot out your time for a week or a month or a year, then it would tell us what is important. And don't tell me your family's important and they get the scraps of your time. Don't tell me that you know, the Lord is when he gets the scraps of your time. So we can look at your calendar. We spent two whole Sundays on dealing with looking at your calendar and how you prioritize and how you set in order what is important and what is not important. So today we're doing the last one. Two things. You look at your calendar or look at your checkbook. And so today we're going to look at your checkbook. Schedule how you spend your time. Checkbook how you spend your money. And so we're going to get close and personal this morning. You have anybody around you at work or in your neighborhood or a friendship or family that they do not respect your personal space? You have anybody that just used to get right up close to you and talk to you? We've had people in my life where, you know, they like to talk and they're saying right in my face. You know, you back up, they stop, they take a step, you take a step, they take a step. Well, I'll do that today. I'm going to get up and close and personal. Exodus chapter 13. We're going to talk about a principle first and putting God first. And when God is first in your life, everything else comes in order. When God is not first in your life, a lot of things become out of order. And what I'm saying is, when God is not that when you put God first, you'll never have a problem. But when you go through them and your life is in order, it's a whole lot easier to deal with. It's like when you get that letter from the IRS. and you haven't even looked at your, you don't know where anything is. How many know you're in disarray, disorder? It takes you forever to get everything. But if you have got a filing system, you got a CPA, you got all your stuff in order, and they call, well, you go through a hard time. It rains on the just and the unjust, but when your life is in order, you go through those things a whole lot easier than if you're absolutely out of disorder, or in disorder, rather. We're going to see a biblical principle in the Old Testament, an application that applies to us today. In Exodus chapter 13 and verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, I think he said more than that, you shall set apart to the Lord all that first opens the womb. Everybody say first, would you? You shall set apart all that first opens the womb, and all the firstborn of your animals that are males shall be the Lord's. Every firstborn of donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. Or if you will not redeem it, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. Now I want you to notice this. Every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb, or if you don't redeem it, you're going to break its neck. So you're going to lose it one way or the other. Either you redeem it with a lamb, or you break its neck, you're going to lose it one way or the other. So I want to give you three points this morning, and I want you to, if you got your notes, everybody got an outline? If you don't, raise your hand, they'll get one to you if you didn't get an outline. If you want to take notes, write this down. If you don't, or if you're not taking notes, write this down. It says the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. That's point number one. The firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. The firstborn must be redeemed. And how do you know which one to do? How do you know if you're supposed to redeem it, or how do you know if you're supposed to sacrifice it? Well, two things. It says he gives an example of two animals. One is an unclean animal, and one is a clean animal. And if your firstborn clean animal, like a lamb, has a firstborn, then you sacrifice it to the Lord. If you have, if your unclean animal, like a donkey, has its firstborn, then you are to redeem the unclean with a clean animal. You're to sacrifice a clean animal, or if you don't want to do that, then you have to break the neck of that firstborn of a clean animal. So he comes out, or unclean, and so he says this, that's how you do that. You don't think this was, you know, this was written 4,000 years ago, but the Bible says everything was written for our admonition, our instructions, for righteousness, for equipping the saints, for making you a full and mature man. Let me say it again. If your animal was clean, the firstborn had to be sacrificed. If your animal was unclean, then the firstborn had to be redeemed with a sacrifice of a clean animal. So you had to take it. So let me show you how that applies to everything the Bible says in there is a picture of Jesus. Everything comes back to Jesus. Let me ask you two questions. Number one, were you and I born clean or unclean? Yeah, well, if you don't believe that, let me ask the experts in here. Everybody that's a parent, let me ask you a question. Did you have to teach your children how to be bad? Or did it just come naturally to them? We don't call it the terrific twos. We call it the what? You know why? Because you didn't have to teach your kids to be bad. You have to teach your kids how to be good. So there, we were born unclean. There's a nature in us that has to be driven out. Let me ask you question number two. Was Jesus born clean or unclean? He was clean. Now listen to this, what we just read. The clean had to be sacrificed to redeem the unclean. Can somebody say amen this morning? You understand, God, listen, we may never have thought about this, but Jesus was literally God's tithe to mankind. Let me say it this way. A tithe in its definition is not something you give at the end. A tithe is something you do at the beginning in faith, and when when you're not sure if you have enough. It's not given at the end when you know you've got enough, you've done all your counting. A tithe is always to be given first. We'll talk about that in just a second. But God exampled that to us. You see, God gave Jesus in faith. He didn't give Jesus after we'd all decided, okay, Lord, if you will do this, then we all will love you. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, God gave Jesus. While we were yet still cursing him, while we were still spitting on him, the Bible says, God gave Jesus in faith, believing that we would believe. There comes a time when you understand that God gave him. Jesus is God's firstborn, and the firstborn always had to be sacrificed. become the firstborn among many brethren. Now, here's what God is saying. You give me the first one because you have, he said, you give me the first one before you have the other ones. And you have to give that first one in faith, believing that I will bless the rest. We saw a principle in the Bible that said that the first has the power to bless the rest. So God comes and in institutes, long before the law ever came into pass, it was in mankind, was that you give the first because it blesses the rest. But you give it at the beginning in faith as the Lord gave, as God gave Jesus. And the rest will be blessed. God doesn't say, wait until you have 10 lambs and then, you know, get rid of the one that gets in the garden or get rid of the one that you don't like or the weakling. He said, the tithe is you, the first fruit. You give it at that firstborn. You give it at the very beginning. The firstborn breaks the womb. Now, God didn't say, wait. But he said, give it at the beginning. And that took faith because you didn't have the other ones yet. And that's the way it is with tithing. God says, give me the first 10%, and I will bless the other 90%. That's the challenge in faith. God said in Exodus, if you don't do this, you have to break its neck. And one of the things I've learned about this, the tithe was coming out of my bank account one way or the other. Because if I did not take and redeem the firstborn, the Bible says you had to break its neck. That meant you're going to lose it one way or the other. Two things you can do with the tithe. And here's what the Lord convicted me about years ago. Was number one, he says, two things I could do with the tithe. I could bring it into the house of the Lord, Malachi says, we'll see it in a second. Or I could steal it.
Can I get an amen this morning?
Now, why is that? Because the first fruits always belong to the Lord. And why did I ever think in my brain that I could be blessed of the Lord if I had stolen money in my bank account? Getting quiet in here. Now, look at Malachi chapter 3. Let's just read it. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes. You've not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? Will a man rob God, God says. Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? And here's what God says. In your tithe, everybody say tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you, pour down on you a blessing until there is no more need. I'll rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed, for you'll be the land of light, says the Lord of hosts. Now, one of the things I learned about was this. The Bible says, bring the full tithe. If you bring the full tithe, God said, I will open the windows of heaven. This is what the Lord spoke to me about. And even from a purely business sense, that's a good return. And one of the guys I talked to, my staff this week, they would not allow me to say this, but I was going to say, I want to challenge you for a year to tithe. And if you are not fully satisfied at the end of a year, I'll give your money back to you. They wouldn't let me say that, all right? So I'm not saying that. I just, I didn't. So one of the things is, you know, you don't understand this, but Kirby and Jennifer are still in the hospital this morning. And one of the things I did when she asked me about, said, Daddy, I've met somebody. We're getting serious. I said, really? I said, well, let's have dinner together. So we had the first dinner when you meet the young man that's possibly going to be your son-in-law. And let me tell you, one of the questions I asked during the course of that dinner, he probably didn't even remember it. One of the questions I asked at the course of that dinner was about his giving practices. I asked about what he believed in tithing. I did it in a very natural way. You know why I did that? Because why would I give my daughter to a thief? So he passed, of course. And somebody said, so you actually checked up on yourself? I absolutely did. I want to know whether he gave, whether he tithed, or he didn't tithe. Why would I want my daughter to live a life cursed? All right, number two, that we're getting into it, all right? Number two, the first fruits must be offered. The second point is the first fruits must be offered. That's number one, was the firstborn must be sacrificed or redeemed. Number two, the first fruits must be offered. And it must be. Exodus chapter 23. Here's another point. Look at this. The best, or one translation says the best of your first fruits of your ground, you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk. The best of the first fruit, everybody say first fruits. The first fruits must be offered. Notice, it does not say that you're going to give the first fruits. It never says you're giving the first fruits. That's one of the misnomers that we've used in our life that's absolutely wrong in how we speak about it. See, I never give the tithe. Because, notice this, the best of your first fruits of your ground, it says, it doesn't say you're going to give it, it says you'll bring it. Because the first fruits belong to the Lord. And you cannot give what does not belong to you. And I learned that about my life. I stopped saying in my mind, I'm giving God 10%. I can't give what does. It always says this. It never says the word give. It says the word bring. It says, you shall bring the first fruits into the house of the Lord. Look at Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. It says it again. Watch this. It is speaking about the first. It says, everybody say bring. Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and put me to the test, says the Lord. Again, he never says the word give. He always says the word bring. Everybody say bring one more time. You can only bring it. You can't give it. You only two things you can do with a tithe. You can either bring it to the storehouse or you can steal it. Because it does not belong. And here's what God, I mean, he got me. He said, it does not belong to you. You can either bring it or you can steal it. And so I learned in my life, you can either bring it to the house of God or you can steal it. I've had people say, I don't tithe and I'm blessed. You don't know. You don't have any idea what the Lord could do in your life. And we'll talk about that more, just in ending this morning. The first fruits had to be offered. When Israel went into the land of Israel, the first time out of the wilderness, they came to their first city was called Jericho. And Jericho was going to be the first fruits until the Lord said this. When you come into the land, the first city you're going to conquer is Jericho. And he said, Jericho is going to be the first fruits back unto me. So everything about Jericho has to be mine. You bring the full tithe into my house. He said, when you destroy, I'm going to knock down the walls of Jericho. And everything concerning Jericho belongs to me. It's the tithe. It is the first fruits back into me. The Bible says that they did exactly that. And look what it says in Joshua 6. But all the silver and gold and every vessel of bronze and iron and are holy unto the Lord. They shall go into the treasury of the Lord. And God comes and says, and the Lord says, Joshua, get up. Why have you fallen on your face? Now listen just a second. God said, here's Jericho. Jericho is going to be the first fruits. First city, you cross the Jordan out of the wilderness. You enter the land of Canaan. Now the first city you come to, all of it is mine. The silver, the gold, the wall, everything is going to be brought into the trade. It's the first fruits has to be offered of the land. The rest is yours, but the first fruit is going to be mine. And the Bible says they went in, they tore down the walls of Jericho, marched around it seven times that last day. Walls fail, they go in, they take everything, they put in treasury of the Lord, and they go on to be blessed of the Lord. And the Bible says the next campaign they came to was a little bitty city called Ai. And Joshua said, we don't need to send but a few soldiers. And they sent a few soldiers up there to defeat Ai, the next city. And the Bible says Israel was soundly defeated. And God and Joshua falls on his face, and here's what he says. Why are you on your face, Joshua, when he says this? Israel has sinned, God says. They have transgressed my covenant that I commanded them. They've taken some of the devoted things. They've stolen and lied and put them among their own belongings. When you begin to read about it, it says, therefore the people of Israel cannot stand before their enemies. Remember God said, if you bring the tithe, bring what belongs to me into the storehouse, I will rebuke the devourer. I'll rebuke your enemies, all this and that. And here they come into Ai, and the Bible says that he says, what's happened? And when you begin to read the story, they turn their backs before their enemies because they have become devoted to destruction. I will be with you no more unless you destroy the devoted things among you. And get up, consecrate the people, and tomorrow, for thus says the Lord, these are the devoted things in your midst, O Israel. And he goes and he begins to search, and I won't read the whole story. It goes all the way through, and there's one man named Achan. And when he was in Jericho, he saw something, and he saw a garment, and he saw some jewelry. And the Bible says, and he took those things for himself and went and hid them in his tent, dug a hole and put them in the bottom of his tent. And the Bible says, because Israel as a nation did not give the full tithe unto the storehouse, the Bible says they were routed before their enemies. Let me tell you something about the first fruits. The first fruits always have to be given to the Lord. You ever wondered why God did not receive Cain? Remember Cain and Abel? Why God did not receive Cain's sacrifice? You ever read this? Look at Genesis chapter 4. It came about in the course of time. Everybody say the course of time. That Cain brought an offering, offering to the Lord. One translation says, at the end of days, you see, if you got it in the New American Standard, at the end of days, Cain brought an offering to the Lord, an offering unto the Lord at the end of days, and offered to the Lord of hosts of the fruit of the ground. Doesn't say first fruits. In the course of time, at the end of days, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. And Cain was very angry. Why did God receive Abel's offering but did not receive Cain's offering? It's very simple when you understand first fruits. God, listen, God will receive first fruits. He will not receive last fruits. What the Lord taught me was this. The Bible says, in the course of time, at the end of days, Cain, after he had a bunch of stuff, looked through his stuff and decided to bring a portion of his thing to the Lord and offer it to the Lord. But the Bible says Abel did something different. The firstborn that broke the womb, Abel took that. And the first fruits, he took that firstborn and he offered it unto the Lord. Let me tell you something about God. God will not receive last fruits. He will receive first fruits, but he will not receive last fruits. Now, you need to understand this, because let me show you. The Bible says, you see, Abel was a rancher. Cain was a farmer. And Cain just brought, you know, after he had all this amount, then he decided what portion of it he would give to God. Abel, in faith, took the firstborn and offered it to the Lord. Let me say, let me tell you another way that Cain, let me give it another way. Let me say it another way. Cain gave what he wanted when he wanted.
We're not getting an amen this morning.
Not much. Pastor, I give, and let me say another way to do it. Pastor, I give as I feel led. Well, I give too as I feel led when it's over and above my tithe. Because I can give that. That's mine to give. But my tithe already belongs to the Lord. And all I can do with it is bring it because it belongs to Him anyway. And so I give. It's like this. If you only love your wife when you feel led, or if you only do this commandment when you feel led, let me tell you this. Let me give you, maybe you never thought about this. Not only did God not accept Cain's offering, I don't believe He could accept Cain's offering. What do you mean? Let me tell you this way. He could. There are certain things, because of who God is, He cannot do. Oh, I thought God could do anything. God cannot do. There are some things, because of who He is, He cannot do. Let me give you an example. Because God is truth, He cannot lie. Because of who He is. It is impossible, the Bible says, for God to lie. You know why? Because of who He is. He's truth. God cannot come anywhere because He's omnipresent. It's who He is. I could go through a list of them. Let me tell you another thing God cannot do, just for time's sake. God cannot be second because He has the preeminence in everything. Let me say it another way. If God played golf at the end of 18 holes, guess what his score would be? 18. You know why? Because no matter what he, no matter how long the hole is, if God hit the ball's going in the hole. So at the end of 18 holes, his score would be 18. God cannot be second in your life. He cannot be second in your heart. He cannot be second in your finances. He cannot be second in your schedule. He cannot be second in your love. He is who he is. He cannot be second. He has to have the preeminence in every aspect of our life. So when you do that, you understand that God can never be second. God can never accept an offering that's not first. Oh, you say, well, the church will accept. Well, yeah. Oh, well, that order, yeah. Well, that. But God will not accept an offering that is not first. Cain brings an offering in the course of time at the end of days, and God says, I can't accept that. I could have accepted first fruits, but I can't accept last fruits. All right, last one, number three. Last one is, the tithe must be first. We've alluded to that. The tithe must be first. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the Lord or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. And in the Hebrew, that is, it means, it's very possessive now. It means it's mine. Every tithe, everybody say every tithe. I looked up that word every. Guess what it means? Every. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is mine. It belongs to me already. It's mine. It belongs to, it's mine. He says it's mine. It is holy unto the Lord. So every means every, and it is the Lord. It's very strong. So let me just give you an example, because a lot of people don't understand biblical things. Let me just say, let's say that you own a company and you come to my house and you're going to do some work. Let's say you got a landscaping company. And you're going to come to my house and you say, all right, here's how much, Pastor Terry, the material is going to cost. Here's how much labor is going to cost. And I need to live. So I'm going to make $1,000 off of this job on your house, you know, in 2-3 weeks. I'm going to make $1,000 off this job. That'll be my property. To be upfront with you, that's what I'm going to make. And you go, and I go, well, yeah, that's great. That's very, very, let's do it. So let's say you come do the job. I give you all this money, give you the entire amount. And you take the money, you pay your labor, you pay your materials. And at the end, you look down, you've got 10 $100 bills. You got 10 $100 bills profit. Let me just ask you a question. What is the tithe off of those 10 $100 bills? $100. I say this because I have had questions. People, what is the tithe? Tithe being, understand the word tithe means 10%. So a tithe off of that is $100. So, but let me ask you this one. Which one of those 10 then is the tithe? You know it's the first because of this teaching, but which one of those is the first? Well, let me tell you how to do it. The first one of those is the first one that leaves your hand. The first one that leaves your bank account. The first one that leaves your hand. Let me tell you how I work mine. When we get paid twice a month here, and what I do is before I even cash my check, I give my tithe. I'm far enough ahead at this game, stage of the game. I give my tithe before I even cash my check. Some people cash it, and the first check they write it out. Let me tell you, you know why? Because I believe the first has the ability to bless the rest. And so I give the first to the Lord to begin with. What happens with some people is they come down and they get their check, and they begin to write their bills. Mortgage company, all right, this amount. Okay, here's what's left over, and here's what I can give to God. Well, let me just say what I believe. I'm not going to be legalistic, but I believe this. The first that goes out of my is what I want the power to bless. I've learned this. The mortgage company has no power to bless my finances. But God has the power to bless my finances. So why would I want to give my tithe to the mortgage company? Quiet in this Presbyterian church. So what happens is this. It's God's part. And when you give the first to God, the rest is blessed. And some do this. Some people, they get down, they get their check, they start writing bills. About halfway in the month, they start writing bills to this, and then they pay that, and they pay that. And then they get down to the bottom, and there's nothing left for God. Well, let me ease your mind if you're doing it that way. God would not accept it anyway. Just look at someone and say, we got up early for that? Come on, somebody, just say. All right, look at Malachi 1. Listen to what he says. A son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my fear, says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, who despise my name? But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. You know what they did? They knew they had to offer food. So you know what they waited? They waited until some of the food went bad, and they took that food and they went and offered that to God. Well, you know, God's not going to taste it anyway. God's not gonna eat it. I'm just going to give the polluted stuff over. By saying that's the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, supposed to have been the firstborn, first one out of the it's supposed to have been the best of the first fruits. But they would say, "That's just an offering. What's the big deal? I'm just going to give whatever left over. Let's see. I got that lamb. Oh, here's a blind one. Let's give that one to God." And God says, "When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? When you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor and see if he will accept you or show you favor," says the Lord of hosts. Just give the leftovers and see if you're honoring somebody. God says, I know exactly what's happening. That's the only reason. And I always bring this up. I ask people, why do you think God commands us to tithe? Well, one person said, so support the church. You really think God needs your money to do his work on the earth? Do you think God needs my money to do the work? He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He created it all. Does he need my money to get his work done? He's chosen to do it that way, but let me tell you, does he need it? Absolutely not. I'm going to tell you, heaven's paved with gold. There's da-da-da-da. You name it. But what I've learned is this. God does the tithe for my benefit and for my blessings and for my good. Let me tell you how it works. Here's how, listen, when you understand that, when you look at your calendar and you look at your checkbook and you've got God first, there is a blessing that comes on people's lives that's unbelievable. Is God first in your heart? If he's not first in your heart, if he's first in your heart, he will be first in your treasure. If God is not first in your treasure, he's not really first in your heart. Jesus said it this way in Matthew. He says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And you know what I've learned about God? I've learned that when I have gotten God first in my finances, a lot of the junk I would have wasted my money on, a lot of the things that would have happened to me don't happen to me. I'm satisfied. Everybody say satisfied. Having food and raiment, I become satisfied. And then I've got a life where I can give and bless and help other people and be a blessing to them. Malachi 3 says it this way, and I've experienced this. Bring the full tithe. Bring it. You can't give it. You have to bring it. It belongs to him already. Into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing until there's no more need. And then he says, I'll rebuke the devourer. Listen, I've learned this. When I started giving like I should have and bringing what belongs to the Lord, and then above that, giving as my heart leads me, then what I've learned is this. My car tires have lasted longer. My washing machine has lasted longer. Things that sickness didn't come into my house. The devourer has been rebuked. The windows of heaven have been opened unto me. I've learned that. But you know what I've learned is the more that I give, the more I've enjoyed giving away and just blessing others and doing. And I'm going to tell you, just your heart becomes totally different. Instead of being wrapped up and owned by that which you have and possess, you really possess it. And you really have true life. And you enjoy life because it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it's a joy of your life that changes. Your whole outlook changes. What you want, what you need to really be satisfied totally changes in your life. And so the Bible says God will come in and he will do that. Now, I've watched so many people prosper in their lives. And they say, I know people who don't tithe and they prosper well. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Let me explain. Let me tell you what I've learned in my 78 years. Let me tell you what I've learned. Proverbs says it best. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. And here's a good thing about God's richness. God's blessing you. Whether it's money, whether it's wisdom or health. Let me tell you about the blessings of the Lord. And when it is money. Let me say, when God gives and the blessing in your life is because of God's blessings on your life, the money has no sorrow to it. Let me tell you about a lot of people I know that's very well-to-do. Their families are in absolute disarray. They have so much sorrow attached to their life because they taught their kids learned by their example, and their kids learned that money means everything. And they're so messed up, and their lives are messed up, their marriages are messed up, their families are messed up, their grandkids are messed up because they've not understood. Yeah, I know a lot of people that have not tithed and have all this money, but I know this, it has sorrow attached to it. There's nothing like being made rich by the Lord and having no sorrow attached to it whatsoever. Having kids that understand the same thing as you do, they can have, I can give and give and give, and watch them just give and give and give and be blessed and blessed and blessed. Because you come to a place where you understand the blessings of the Lord, God is absolutely not against. If you say, can I be a Christian and be rich? Absolutely. I'd love to be that. But I'm going to tell you, the richness takes on a whole new meaning where it literally becomes satisfied. Because everybody here knows, no matter how much you got in the bank, there's that, if money is trying to be the thing that fills you up, you'll never be satisfied. Let's end this morning. Let me just say, Exodus chapter 13, let me tell you why I tithe. Let me just give you an understanding of why I tithe. Exodus chapter 13, the giving of the firstborn, we read in verse 13, every firstborn of donkey you redeem with a lamb. And you're not redeeming, you shall break its neck. Every firstborn of man among your sons, you shall redeem. Now watch this. This is why I tithe. Not just because I know it belongs to the Lord. Not just because I came to that revelation years ago. This is not mine. I bring it. Here, God, here's your tithe back. Here's why I do it. When in time to come. See, there was a time I used to pastor the church here 7 years single. And I married, and I knew one day I'd get married. And I said, I knew one day I'd have a child. And I knew one day that child would start asking me questions. And I have experienced, watch this. And when in time to come, your son asks you, what does this mean? He's watching you give the firstborn. He's watching you redeem the unclean by the clean. He's watching you take every firstborn animal and break this. And your son comes and asks you, what does this mean? You shall say this to him. By strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt. Remember Egypt? Remember God did one plague after another. And finally, the last plague was this. The firstborn, from the highest Pharaoh to the lowest donkey, the firstborn is going to die that night. You get on your houses, you put the blood of a lamb. See, remember? It's a sacrifice of a clean to redeem the unclean. You put the blood of a lamb on your doorpost. Then I'm going to march through Egypt, and I'm going to take every firstborn, because every firstborn belongs to me. From the highest Pharaoh's firstborn son down to the lowest animal's firstborn, I'm going to take them that night. The Bible says that angel came through the land of Egypt and the land of Goshen. It was not a judgment against Egypt. This was a judgment on all mankind. Whether you were in the land of Goshen, the Israelites, or whether you were in Egypt. And the Bible says, and God came through the land that night and took the firstborn. And this is what he says. He's telling, this son is watching his daddy do what he's done. And he says, and that comes as, when in time your son asks you, what does it mean? Here's what you're going to tell him. By a strong hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt from the house of slavery. For when Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man, the firstborn of animals. Therefore, I sacrifice to the Lord all the males that first opened the womb, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. Just picture this. Little boy, this young little boy, he's just growing up where he can understand. And he's out in the barn one day, and one of the sheep begins to give birth to a lamb. He runs back. He says, "Mom and Daddy, you couldn't believe the sheep is giving birth to her first lamb." And all the family runs out. And they're watching this little birth of this little lamb, firstborn of this sheep. And they're wondered at it in the wonder of life. And all of a sudden, you imagine this little boy. The daddy reaches over when that little lamb stands up, takes it by the hind leg, lifts it up, and then cuts its throat. You know what that little boy's thinking? I don't know what that lamb did, but I sure ain't going to do that. I don't know what took place. But just think of this, because this keeps occurring. And this little boy is watching his daddy, and all through his life, every time there's a firstborn, daddy takes that thing and cuts its throat. And finally, one day, Junior gets big enough where he becomes part of the family business. And one day, he calls Daddy in. That's what he says. One day, this is going to happen. And he says, "Daddy, can we talk? I've been going over the books. And, all of us have a lifestyle, you know, some things in our lives that, you know, we get used to doing. And, you know, and you kind of like blind spots. And you may not know that you're doing this, but you're killing animals. And you killed 74 lambs last year. We could have had so much our product, and they could have produced, and it would have been so big." And the Bible says, you say this to him. He says, "Son, let's sit down and talk. There was a time when Daddy wasn't always like he was. There was a time when Daddy was in slavery. You don't know something about our family. I need to tell you about it. There was a time when we were in absolute slavery and we could not get out of it." And he said, and let me tell you something. He said, "God, with a mighty hand, took the firstborn, and through the death of the firstborn, he brought us out with a mighty hand and delivered us. Therefore, I gladly give the first fruits and the firstborn and the full tithe. I gladly give it back to the Lord." There came a day, we're sitting around our little table in our house over there, our kids asked us, Jasmine and I, that question. Because we were teaching them about giving and tithing. Why do you give all that money? Why do you give that? You could have this new thing and that new. Why do you do that? And I was able to say, let me tell you something about me. You see me like I am now, but there was a day when I was in my high school annual, my senior year, I was voted. Here's my vote. You know, you get all these things. I was voted to stay drunk for the rest of my life. I was on the verge of being an alcoholic. I was in drugs. I was all this. I said, "You don't know me. You don't know what I was a slave to." But I look at them and said, "But God." Everybody say, "But God." With a strong hand, with the death of the firstborn, he redeemed me. And he brought me back. And I look at them and I said, "I gladly give the first fruits of everything I get. I gladly give the full tithe. I gladly tithe. I gladly." It ain't nothing because there's some law in the Old Testament or New Testament that tells I got to do this, I got to do that. You know why? I give because he first gave. And I love because he first gave. Everybody stand up this morning. Everybody say amen. Give the Lord a good clap offering. Would you do that? Come on. Father, we just come before you today. And we thank you that you are first in our lives. We tell you you're first in our resources. You're first in our money. You're first in our hearts. You're first in our schedules. You're first in our relationships. You're just first in everything about us. So, Lord, I just pray for my church. Would you just, Lord, show the revelation? Would you open up eyes? Would you just speak to hearts? Lord, you know I want to see them blessed. I want to see them, Lord, just taken off. I want to see them with the joy of the Lord. I want to see them increased in everything but with no sorrow added to it. I want to see them, Lord, loving you with all their hearts. I want to see them, Lord, putting you as a preeminence in every area of their life. So would you bless them, Lord, as they give, as they give their offerings and they bring the tithe into the storehouse. Would you bless them, O God? Would you open up the windows of heaven? Would you rebuke the devourers you've done in my life? Lord, you've been so good to me. I cannot complain. I love you with all my heart. In Jesus' name. Everybody say one good amen again. Amen. God bless you. Go ahead in small groups. We'll see you Wednesday night or next Sunday.